As we approach once again the season of Advent, help us, O Lord, to do so responsibly. Make us aware of the unlimited possibilities of waiting. Teach us to wait in trust. Challenge us to wait expectantly. And enable us to wait in a sense of excitement that is worthy of one who is born to us anew, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. We turn again to you, O Lord, marveling at your patience. Too many times have we plied you with prayer upon prayer, without earnest and honest effort to put our spiritual house in order. Forgive us for words spoken without serious intent, for beliefs that conceal our disbelief, and for all indifference that has caused us not to seek you. Help us to return to you with eagerness, that we may know your truth, that we may experience your forgiveness, and that we may immerse ourselves in the love shown to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exalt my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations.
I'll be reading from Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever. Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
I'm going to share with you from the Gospel of John, the first chapter, verses 6 through 8 and 19 through 23. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed, he did not deny, he confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They said to him then, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said."
Within the Christian tradition, we stand at the threshold of the season of Advent. This is a season in which we wait for the birth of Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ. It is a season of preparation for the celebration of Christmas. In the Eastern Orthodox Church, Advent begins with St. Martin's Day, which is November the 11th. In the Western tradition, in the Roman Catholic tradition, Advent begins with the Sunday nearest to St. Andrew's Day, which is the 30th of November. It is not clear at what precise date the season of Advent began to be observed within the Christian tradition, and what may have been an early acknowledgement of the season of Advent. The Council of Saragossa in 380 of our Common Era forbade the faithful to be absent from church during the 3 weeks from December 17th until January 6th. The first authoritative mention of Advent came in the Synod of Lerida in 524 of the Common Era. So since the 6th century, Advent has been recognized as the beginning of the ecclesiastical year. Advent served early on as a period of strict fasting in preparation for the birth of our Lord. But later tradition has relaxed this feature. In the Roman Catholic Church, Advent is still observed as a time of penance, and purple is the color of the vestments worn in services of worship. A familiar symbol that is frequently observed both in churches and in homes is the Advent wreath, which contains four candles. These candles are lighted successively, one on each of the four Sundays that precede Christmas. And more recently, a further development of that symbol has come forth, a fifth candle that is added to the four. Now, this fifth candle is usually a taller, thinner taper, white in color, and this is called the Christ candle. This candle is lighted in the churches either on Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day at an appropriate service of worship. So the ecclesiastical year begins with Advent, continues with Epiphany, Lent, Easter, and Pentecost. Thus, the ecclesiastical year of the church is entirely out of kilter with the calendar year, the various so-called fiscal years that we ourselves are subjected to, or the seasonal year that is determined by the earth's rotation about the sun. It is a rather odd alignment of time, which is based upon the perceived format of the life of Jesus of Nazareth. In Advent, we anticipate and prepare for the birth of Jesus. In Epiphany, we commemorate the coming of the Magi, or the first manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles, or in the Eastern Orthodox tradition, the observance of the baptism of Jesus. During Lent, we remember the events of the suffering that preceded the death. And at Easter, we lament the death and rejoice in the resurrection. At Pentecost, we commemorate the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. The Christian tradition, you see, takes time seriously. The time of Advent, unfortunately, is a time which is overshadowed by the world of commercial values. Though the expectation of the birth of our Savior is acknowledged, it is overwhelmed by the excitement of holiday festivities, parties, family gatherings, and galas of every imaginable variety. What a contrast this makes with the strict fasting that was so characteristic of Advent in its earliest form. Commercially, of course, Advent, or the Christmas season as it is generally known, is the period which is widely acknowledged as a make or break time for retail sales in general. Merchants who cannot account for 50% of their annual sales during the Christmas season are often in danger of being forced out of business. Our nation's economy depends upon a strong merchandising performance during this period. And the commercial dimension is driven by traditions that have nothing to do with Advent. The Christmas tree, for example, and the most recent adaptation of the Christmas tree, the so-called Christman tree. Santa Claus is another formidable competitor in the commercial domination of the Advent season. It is worth noting that Santa is located geographically at the North Pole. The apocalyptic writers in the Old Testament, virtually without exception, describe the great threat to the continued well-being of Judah as an enemy from the north, a warning that certainly lends credence to their prophetic words. In the midst of this commercial melee, which seems to begin earlier each year, the Christian must remember the real significance of Advent. The sense of anticipation which underlies this season is reflected in the Old Testament passages read to us this morning. It is seen particularly in these words from Isaiah. He has sent me to bring good news to the lowly, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of Yahweh's favor. Now this is the passage from Isaiah which Jesus read to the worshipers in the synagogue at Nazareth. And according to Luke, these words were for Jesus the first public proclamation of the nature of his ministry. Anticipation is also apparent in these words from the psalmist. How happy is he whose hope is placed in Yahweh his God, who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is therein, who prepares fidelity forever, who renders justice to the oppressed, and who gives bread to the hungry. The longings portrayed in these words describe much of the spectrum of human desire. One line in Isaiah captures so much of what our tradition longs for, to proclaim the year of Yahweh's favor. Each year begins with the hope that the new year will indeed be blessed with God's favor. It will mark a new beginning in which the needs of human beings will be granted through God's favor. The new beginning itself is filled with promise. There is a quality which sets it apart from what has already passed. The church year begins with the somber realization that as the drama of the new year unfolds, It is a drama of waiting. As we rehearse the various stages of the church year, we are waiting, longing for some tangible sign that the kingdom of God has finally arrived. While we wait, we mark time by rehearsing each step of our annual recital, as if somewhere in the process between Pentecost and Advent, the promised coming of God's kingdom will occur, and we will recognize it and be a part of it. And we wait. Waiting is not easy. Though we are conditioned to it, we do not do it well. We are impatient. And sometimes our wanting overwhelms our waiting. We who are citizens of Eastern Europe, now voting for the first time, now trying to manage our governmental affairs as separate entities rather than as a combined union, asserting our wills in ways that hitherto would not have been tolerated. After 70 years on the road to nowhere, we will no longer wait for the economic promise of prosperity that manifests itself only in empty shelves. We who reside in the townships of South Africa are no longer willing to wait for a quality of life that never seems to fall within our grasp. And even though our frustration seems to accomplish little more than the suffering and death of our fellow citizens, we will wait no longer. We who suffer from incurable diseases and lament the dreadfully slow progress of medical science can only scream in silence, with a scream the depth of which far exceeds the range of its sound. And so we wait. For those of us within the Christian tradition, Advent provides more than a promising context for waiting. We are waiting for the fullness of time. While we wait for a second coming, a rehearsal of the first coming will comfort us, will reassure us, will inform us of who we are and of why we wait. We need that. We remember and reread and rehearse those words of expectation. We repeat to ourselves and to each other those words of promise that enabled us to wait. Advent is not without end. The fullness of time will overtake us, both when it is expected and when it is not expected. It can arrive on schedule, ahead of schedule, or completely apart from schedule. When are we to expect the fullness of time? Will it occur on December 25th, as our calendars warn us? Or could it be on January the 6th, as another tradition would tell us? Will it be during the late evening of December 24th? Or could it possibly occur on the morning of November 24th? Let us pray. Enable us to endure the agony of waiting. Comfort us with the reassurance of Advent. Prepare us for the expected and the unexpected coming of the fullness of time. And throughout the advent of our lives, teach us to rejoice with those who rejoice, to weep with those who weep, and to wait with those who wait.